This is Terry Crosby.
Andy Steiger.
Steve Kim.
Welcome to the AC Podcast. On this podcast, we want to help you understand and speak the language of our culture and address questions being asked with intellectual honesty, gentleness, and respect. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
3 days post-conference. How's everybody feeling?
I need more sleep, Terry.
I'm still recovering, too. I'm not as young as I used to be.
Yeah, we had a little rest day yesterday, but that wasn't enough.
I saw the look on Terry's face on Saturday night after the conference was done. We were having dinner at my house.
Yeah.
And he had this look of death.
Well, it was certainly the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Coming up to the conference and then, you know, the stress and everything that's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, you were pretty wide awake, pretty with it.
I didn't crash until Sunday after everything. So it might even be just helpful for people to appreciate that this isn't just a weekend thing for us.
Yeah.
I counted it out. I think it was 5 days straight of ministry.
Yeah.
So just give people maybe a quick rundown of what the whole thing looks like.
Well, we started off with Dr. Grosso going to SFU, and that was well received with about 45 to 50 students that came out.
And that's something that we do every year. We take our speakers out to local universities.
Yep.
So that's great.
Yep. That was Wednesday. On Thursday, we had a mini conference at the Mennonite Educational Institute, a local Christian school in town here.
Yeah, high school.
High school. And we had about seven speakers there and about 265 students that chose between those seven sessions. And that went really well. I heard some good feedback about that. And they were very thankful that we actually came and did it there.
Yeah, that's a fun thing that we started last year.
Last year was at Abbotsford Christian Secondary School. So next year, I think it'll go back to Abbey Christian, go back and forth, if it continues.
Yep.
So, that was leading up. And then Friday came.
Yeah, and then Friday came, and we have normally our speaker will speak to our master's students at Northview, and then we have a free lunch for pastors and leaders. However, with Daryl Bach having to cancel due to illness, we had to cancel that event. However, we kicked off the Friday night, so then we had the Friday, the Saturday, and then on Sunday we head out with one of our speakers out to Broadway Church. And so it was after all of that that I finally got some rest
and
still trying to recuperate. But one of the things that we wanted to do on this podcast today was just take a moment to discuss how things went at the conference and to and maybe just, you know, give some of our own thoughts and some of the behind the scenes of what all took place.
So, Steve, you know, we started off with Andy, you started off with your talk, and I think that went really, really well.
Yeah, it seemed like it was very well received. Positive feedback. One of the things that we talked about as we kicked off the conference, and I really just wanted to kind of set the stage for the conversation that was about to take place on, you know, religious freedom and being a public Christian. As I talked on the question of how should humans live, and specifically the topic of freedom, I think everyone would agree that humans should be free. But the question that is posed and that I brought up using Viktor Frankl, who was a Holocaust survivor, is that with freedom comes responsibility. An important question that we need to think through is what is our responsibility with the freedom that we do have so that we can continue that freedom? But an even deeper question, though, is to what or whom am I responsible? And so that really began, you know, a framework that I thought was interesting because as the dialogue went on, it kind of came back to that repeatedly about freedom and responsibility. And so that basically set up the dialogue, and Steve moderated it. And I have to say, Steve, you did a fantastic job moderating the discussion.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we had considered bringing Justin Brierley back to moderate that, but I just really didn't want to do that because Brierley, as great as he is as a moderator, and we had him out last year and that was fun, but he doesn't understand the Canadian context to which you really do understand that, Steve. You're highly invested in these topics. And so that clearly came across as you moderated this discussion. This was a very Canadian discussion on freedom, which it needed to be.
Yeah. And so there were a number of things that were brought up. For example, all of the three panelists, they were Canadian and they work in the Canadian context. And just now that I'm in Alberta and I'm experiencing different things in the area of freedom of religion, I was able to bring that into the picture and just the kind of tension that people are feeling in the midst of all of that. And I was able to bring some of that forward.
Speaking of tension, you know, this dialogue, just like last year's, created tension. There were three panelists who brought a variety of different opinions. They brought different opinions on their political view. And one of the things I think is important for us just to, you know, express again, you know, Politics Canada is nonpartisan. However, some people, I heard some people that felt that it was a little bit more on the conservative bend. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can avoid that, though. I mean, people have their political opinion. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree that there's a part of us that you're going to hear people dialoguing on things you disagree with, and you need to be okay with that? I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why these dialogues are so important. And let me just give an example, because I think this is an important one. Andre Schouten was seeking to be a little controversial. And I think really his desire was to overstate an idea for the purpose of discussing it. So he said Christians shouldn't send their students or their children to a public school, that they should only go to a Christian school. And he stated it pretty strongly.
Yeah. And so I thought I would also play the devil's advocate, right? Because I hear the other side of the argument too. Like, why shouldn't we, don't we need to have our children in these public school systems so that they can be the salt and light, right? And you could see that when Andre was saying his piece, there were people cheering for that. And then when I came back at him playing the devil's advocate, there were people cheering for that as well. And so that also showed me that just because you have a conservative bent, it's not like any single sort of part of the political spectrum is monolithic, right? Even within sort of the more liberal circles or conservative circles or centrist circles, you're going to have differences of opinion. And I thought that really came out Friday night when we were talking on specifically the school issue.
And on that issue, I see some of Andre's points and I see some of the other points. And in particular for my wife, our kids are in a non-Christian, you know, they're in a public school system. And I didn't take offense to Andre making that claim. It was part of a dialogue. It gave me something to think about. It didn't mean that I had to agree with him. And I just think this is such an important concept in our culture today, just learning the importance of listening to another person without taking offense and hearing what they're trying to get at. Now, here's the irony of it. And I think this is absolutely hilarious because we had Andre over at my house after the conference for dinner. And he said, I got a bit of a dirty secret to say. He goes, I thought about this after I made that statement. We were like, well, what is that? And he goes, well, one of my kids is in a public school. And you know what? What I think is interesting is because he then went on to share something that happened that really frustrated him. And I could tell that's probably why he made his comment as strong as he did, as I think he's still frustrated about an incident that just took place with his own kid. But I thought, how hilarious is that? Like, I think people would probably be really surprised to hear that. So within that context, though, I think there's just the importance to appreciate that there are going to be different views there. And the reality is that we can't, on a dialogue, provide every spectrum of every view. It's going to have a particular bent. We had no idea what the bent would be because we didn't even know what the political views of every person was. We didn't know what their specific theological view on every issue is either. We wanted those people in particular to come because they've experienced the challenges of freedom of religion in different areas, law, theology, and politics. Mm-hmm. And personally, I think it was the best conference that we've probably done yet. It was the most well done, but B, it had some of the most relevant and thought-engaging conversation. The people that I talked to, by and large, absolutely loved that dialogue.
So how was each participant there that night involved in freedom of religion within Canada?
Yeah, that was the part that I wanted to get across when I was, because I started off the conversation by asking them to give a little bit of a background, right? And so in the hope of giving the audience a bit of an understanding as to why we invited these particular speakers, Andre Schouten, he works with ARPA Canada, who was an intervener in the Trinity Western University case, a very high profile case from last year that had to do with freedom of religion and freedom of association. And then Father Deacon Andrew Bennett, a Ukrainian Greek Catholic, by the way, so different kind of a Christian that we had on the panel than other kinds of speakers that we would normally have. I find that not a lot of people know this, but we actually at one point had an ambassador, a Canadian ambassador for freedom of religion.
Which was Andrew.
Yeah. To date, he was the only one, right? He's been the only ambassador.
No, he was appointed by Harper, I believe.
Yeah. But then his office was closed for one reason or another under the current government. And so to date, he's the only one. So he definitely worked in that area of freedom of religion, promoting freedom of religion globally.
Now, interestingly enough, I asked Andrew if he thought that that position should be opened up again. And it was interesting, his response is he said, no, I don't think so. He says that this topic has just become too political. And so he really feels that what they were doing is important and can get opened up through different other means, maybe through human rights or through other avenues. But the freedom of religion had just, interestingly enough, he just felt had become too politicized.
Mm-hmm. And then the third panelist that we had was Rachel Harder, the member of parliament from the riding of Lethbridge. And the reason we invited her was that she experienced this in a kind of a, not a tangent kind of a way, but she experienced something very similar because she was appointed by Andrew Scheer to head the Committee on the Status of Women. And she was supposed to be confirmed. And it was supposed to be a very kind of a, from what I understand, very kind of a formal thing. Like, you just kind of get appointed and they confirm you and you hardly ever get turned down. But her Liberal and NDP colleagues actually did walk out on her at one point on the basis of her views on when life begins and based on her moral convictions.
From her Christian belief.
Yeah, she was denied that confirmation. And so, again, this is not directly related to freedom of religion, but it is connected, right? Because freedom of religion is connected to freedom of belief, freedom of thought, expression, all those kinds of things. And so we thought it'd be interesting. Also, one of the reasons we wanted to have her there doing all the different sessions and whatnot, personally for me, was I wanted to see a politician be humanized. Because politicians are one of those people, groups that we love to dehumanize. And so it was really nice to have Rachel Harder come there, talk about how she got into politics and sort of the agony that, you know, the all the questions that she had to wrestle through. She talked about the personal why of getting into politics, right? And her having to wrestle through that issue. And then, you know, her admitting that sometimes she doesn't disagree with other politicians very well, you know, her colleagues from across the aisle, and she freely acknowledged that. And so that kind of vulnerability and everything just really made her human in my eyes, and I'm sure in the eyes of many people in the audience. And that was really critical, I thought.
Well, in fact, one of the reasons why we wanted to do that was something that I set up on the Friday before the panel came out, is I really encouraged young people, high schoolers, young adults, that public service is a worthy profession. And this is something that I'm more and more convicted on, is that young people in the church rarely hear that from the front, that it is a good thing for you to go into public service, and it's variety, you know, it's multiple forms, and, you know, politics being one of those.
If you're going to pursue public service, you almost have to be a little bit apologetic in church circles, I found.
Oh, without question. And I think that that's something that really needs to stop. And one of the things I love about having Rachel there is I think it would be a real encouragement to people. As she said in her talk, listen, I grew up in a farming family, a very humble family, and God you know, brought me into politics, and I'm seeking to be faithful, you know, here in this work, you know, to God and people. And I think that's just something young people need to hear more of. And I want to see more move in that direction and know that they have the encouragement of the church to do so.
So with Rachel Harder on the Saturday, we actually had a Q&A with her as well at lunchtime.
Yeah.
So Steph Keys,
that was very strategic.
Yeah, exactly. She was wondering how many people were going to show up. She didn't think there was going to be many. In her mind, this was a Steph that was having a discussion with Rachel.
Right. And that's one of our young adults that has worked and just recently interned in Ottawa.
Yeah. And knows Rachel.
Yeah. And so.
But the whole thing was packed out.
It was. It was absolutely packed.
And then there was, like she said, 10 to 15 people around Rachel afterwards, just engaging with her and asking questions. So it turned out to be a fantastic discussion time.
Oh, yeah. To me, that's a huge win. And going back to what you said, Steve, it's so important for our young people again and people in the church in general to see a politician, you know, a known politician. It was interesting. A lot of the young adults knew who she was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've watched YouTube videos or they've watched, you know, discussions at Parliament. And to see her come and to passionately express her faith and how it motivates her in public service, to me, that's priceless.
So, Steve, Friday night, I mean, there was lots talked about. But is there a highlight there that you really popped out to you and the discussion that you had with the three individuals?
If I were to pick something that really stood out to me, one thing that Father Deacon Andrew said during Q&A, a question came in, right? What would you say to Christian parents who can't afford to put their kids in these Christian private schools? And to that, Andrew replied, well, I think the churches should step up. No Christian child should be denied that kind of Christian education on the basis of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to actually give people like a taste of what it might be like, because my girl, Maya, is in kindergarten right now at a local Lutheran school, and tuition is free. It's completely paid for by the congregation on the private funding side of things. Now in Alberta, private schools also receive public funding, but as far as the private funding part of it goes, it's all completely paid for. And I thought, it can be done, right? It's not just some fairy tale, pie in the sky kind of thing. It is being done, and I'm reaping the benefit of that. It was convicting to me to hear that, and also it was kind of motivating. I'm like, yeah, why shouldn't we mobilize our churches to do that?
It is interesting that historically Christianity has always had a vested interest in education, and specifically the education of their children. This is something that I find quite fascinating when you look at the history of the United States and Canada. One of the first things that Christians did when they came is set up schools such as Harvard and others.
Princeton.
Yeah. I mean, the list is long and it's quite phenomenal. Christians have always valued education. And I think it's something that the church is going to have to think about again. We've kind of lost those roots. But it goes back to the argument that I was actually making. A lot of those Christian schools, like Harvard and others, have now become secular schools that are actually quite antithetical to Christianity, which I think is quite fascinating, is to ask, well, what happened there? Mm-hmm. Where did we lose those universities? And to think more deeply, though, you know, particularly in the churches, how can we do a better job at educating our young people?
That was Friday night, and that was a fantastic dialogue and discussion. And so we moved to Saturday, and we had a speaker step in, because one of our speakers did cancel with regards to health issues. So Dr. Grasso started off the morning, and we decided to have a dialogue with him. Andy Steiger and Dr. Grasso had a dialogue for half an hour or so.
Topic of Two Tales of One City.
Yeah, very interesting, because you guys have been friends for four years or so. I think that highlighted that, but it also highlighted a lot of his key issues.
The guy just has such great insight into culture, and he wanted to use Dickens to kind of get at that, and basically asking this question that a lot of us are asking, is this the best of times or is this the worst of times? And ultimately what he said is, it depends upon who you ask. You know, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, people have come to different conclusions on that question. He kind of finds himself in the middle on that. It was a really great opportunity to tease out this topic with regards to two tales that are kind of being told, you know, best of times, worst of times in one city. And then ultimately what the Christian response is in that. The thing that I found fascinating about that whole dialogue is it was a last minute decision to make that into a dialogue. Mm-hmm. It was slated to just be a conversation, but we were worried that the conversation might get too intellectual and go over people's heads. And we wanted to make sure that it was being translated, that it was being understood. And so that led us to doing it in a dialogue. And it was really interesting to me, the amount of positive feedback we got from doing it as a discussion. And really, we walked away from that going, oh, we're going to be doing a whole lot more of those in the future.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's such an interactive guy, just on a personal level, as well as an intellectual level. And I think that both of those came out in your guys' discussion and talk together.
And one of the things that I framed that whole discussion with is to explain that we're going to start off by engaging our head, and we're going to end the day by engaging our heart. So it was, you know, bookend with two conversations, one conversation that was intellectual, one conversation that was, you know, more emotional, heart level. And I thought it was actually quite effective. The next speaker that we had out was Dr. George Yancey, whom we also took out to Broadway. And I had the chance to, you know, just spend more time with him and getting to talk through his work. He's done and continues to do incredible work with regards to racism and anti-Christian bias. The man has written like 14 books. We had one of his books out at the conference. But he did something that I thought was quite interesting. And Steve, I'm curious, you know, Terry, how you guys felt about this. As he came out, he basically critiqued All Lives Matter, and then he critiqued Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. and really sought to demonstrate a Christian perspective
right.
that was rooted in the depravity of human beings, that humans are broken, sinful people. And that really became the foundation for him to work from.
Yeah, I always found his approach interesting because I have him on Facebook. Oh, by the way, before I get into that, people should actually know there is another scholar by the name of George Yancey. So the George Yancey that we brought out is the sociologist from the University of North Texas, and he spells his last name Yancey. Make sure that E is in there.
This is important because when I brought him out to Broadway, the lead pastor at Broadway came up to me and he says, you know, when I first Googled who this speaker is, he said, I got really concerned because the other Yancey is a different character from what I understand. I haven't looked into this, but was concerning.
Yeah. And incidentally, Dr. Yancey, George Yancey, is our first Black main session speaker. And the other George Yancey is also Black. So a lot of confusion there if you're not careful. But having said all of that, I do have Dr. Yancey on my Facebook and I see his posts from time to time. And I've always found that he's a hard guy to peg down as conservative or liberal. He doesn't really go by that. Like you said, Andy, he works from this kind of Christian worldview, and he feels free to critique both sides. And so you could even call him a centrist, but that doesn't really fit him very well either. And so for that, I really kind of respect his views on this because he seems to me like a pretty impartial kind of person. And so he'll talk about different models of racial reconciliation. One is this colorblind model where, you know, let's just pretend that we're not different. And I'm just like, well, that's not going to work. And he points that out, that it's not realistic, right? We are different in many ways, and that diversity should be celebrated, not just ignored. Because then otherwise we're kind of losing the richness that can come from that kind of diversity. And then other models, like it's all white people's fault, or it's all Black people's fault. Neither of those are true to reality, and it's just not helpful. But what he does advocate is this mutual responsibility model, as he calls it, right? And this rooted in his understanding that humanity is fallen. Nobody's squeaky clean here. We're all fallen, and we all need to be held accountable for our actions. And so I really appreciated that kind of an approach.
We wrapped up the conference with bringing out Noi. And those who were at the conference would have seen a video that we created with Noi. And we're going to work to put that video on the conference recording, which, by the way, if you weren't at the conference and you'd like to hear all the different main session and breakout sessions that took place, you can purchase that download or the USB of it, and we'll send it off to you. But Noi was the last person that we had. Now, we worked for basically a year with a missionary in Thailand. I first interviewed Noi a number of times to get her story. Then I worked with Adam Warmold from Cassiar. He and I really worked on the script as well with this missionary named Adrian to get it all hammered out. And then Adrian there in Bangkok filmed that with Noi, and we showed it. And it's a powerful video that explains Noi's story and her love and heart for people, which I was very familiar with because I've served with Noi in Thailand on a number of occasions. However, on the last trip I was in Thailand, I heard Noi sharing her testimony, and at one point she mentioned hating people, and that really struck me because I thought, this lady Noi is one of the most lovely, angelic human beings you'll ever meet. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that she ever hated people. She's the Thai Mary Poppins, you know. And so I had to follow up on that. And that began uncovering her story. She's one of those people that really doesn't share her story. And a lot of that's because her story is painful. And I'm one of those people that kind of pokes and prods and wants to tease that out, because I think that there's so many people that could be ministered by that story. And in particular, I find her story so compelling because of the profound loneliness that she struggled through as a child and as an adult, loneliness that she experienced not only in a small village, but in the big city of Bangkok. It's a story that really spans the full human spectrum. And here you have this Buddhist that's not looking for God. She's looking for a friend, and that she ultimately finds a church. And again, in the video, you can see this whole progression of what happened. You know, she gets encouraged to go to a church because church people are friendly and welcome you in. And she goes in, and not only does she find friends, but she finds God. And through God and these friends, her life begins to be transformed. Now, I'm missing a huge portion here, I just realized. And the portion is that, and for those at the conference, you know, Noi cried quite a bit as she shared this, so it might have been hard to understand, that Noi's mom had a number of kids and tried to abort Noi. Her mom took some medicine to try to abort the child, Noi, but instead of aborting Noi, it led to birth defects. So her growth was stunted, and it deformed one of her eyes. So these became a lightning rod, if you will, for children in her village to mock and ridicule her and make fun of her. And that's really what led her to hate people. She particularly hated children. And into her life, you know, into her adulthood, this was something that she struggled with deep within her, you know, is this you know, juxtaposition of needing people, you know, because she wanted friends, but at the same time hating people at the same time. And that ultimately, as the gospel takes root in her, seeing her heal as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I found out that was quite interesting to me is that in Thailand, people don't really know each other's names. They just know them by their nicknames. And so Noi actually is not her legal name, not her quote unquote real name, but that's her nickname that everybody calls her by. And unless you really know that person, you don't know their legal names. And Noi literally means tiny, and she is tiny. She's probably one of the tiniest people that I've seen. Lovely as anything, but also very tiny. And mm-hmm. I could kind of see right from the start, I'm just like, even for a Thai person, right? She's very small, and I could see how she might be bullied growing up, especially her left eye being deformed and whatnot.
To put it in perspective, when she came, you know, she's from Thailand, so she has no warm clothes, and here she is to a land that snows. And she needed warmer clothes. So we brought her over to our house, and my 9-year-old, we dressed her up in his clothes, like his down jacket and stuff like that.
Didn't she do some snow angels?
Well, we had to make her Canadian, right? Yeah. So she was taken to a Canucks game and got a Canucks jersey, and then we put her.
Oh,
on,
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and
oh,
we put her on the ground and tried helping her make a snow angel.
Yeah.
Now this was hilarious. Instead of flapping her arms, you know, from toe to head, she did it the opposite way, from sky to ground. So I've never had to teach a person how to make a proper snow angel, but. We did. And ending that conversation, by the way, I just got to say this because this is so interesting. I asked Noy at the end of the conversation, you know, I asked her, what would you encourage the church in your story? You know, what encouragement would you give to people? And Noy, you know, looked at the audience and said, to be a friend. And you know, she's fighting tears even as she says this, you know, to be a friend. And I got to be honest, I wish I was sharper. I wish I had all, you know, the eloquent words and whatnot. But I was kind of speechless, truthfully, as she said that, because I was expecting some long, drawn out, you know, profound answer.
Yeah.
And the reality is she did give me a profound answer.
Yeah.
It was just really short.
Yeah.
Be a friend. And it was interesting because that night, she came over to our house with some of the other speakers for dinner, and her and I were talking. And she looked at me and she said this, I'm never going to forget this as long as I live, because I was talking with her more about, you know, her answer. And she looked at me and she goes, you know, Andy, being a friend is a simple answer. She goes, but it's a very hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Just let that sit on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that absolutely right?
Yeah.
We know the answer. The answer's simple. You know, be a friend.
Yeah.
It's just a very difficult thing to do.
How do we love our neighbor, right? Yeah. And be that friend. Right at the end there, I think you said something like, you'd like a number of people to come and visit you, wouldn't you? And she goes, I want everybody to come over and visit me, talking to the 1,100 people that were there, right?
Yeah, that's great.
And that was fantastic, yeah, to come visit her, where her ministry is.
Which, by the way, to you listeners, that is actually something you can do. You can go to Thailand and experience the ministry she's doing there, loving the elderly in the slums of Bangkok, and the lonely and the oppressed. And she does an incredible job at it, and you can participate with her in it. I have done so on a number of occasions, and in some very tangible, simple ways, from handing out rice to helping put a roof over a man's house to putting a floor on a person's house. I mean, doing all sorts of stuff. Very practical ways that you can care for people in her ministry. And it's interesting because I did this one year with my family. We went over there on a vacation, and part of our vacation was a week serving with Noy in Bangkok. And I'll tell you, my kids will never forget it. They loved seeing her when she came over. She has an incredible way with people, so much so that it's just, again, it's just really difficult to believe that she once hated people. And it's just such a beautiful reminder to me of the power of the gospel.
Hmm. So I think we came away from that conference thinking that it was successful. I really do. I think a lot of topic titles and the people that were here really made it a fantastic conference. I'm always struck by the fact that in that day and a number of hours, Friday night and Saturday, the amount of content people get, right? And then you come to the end of
heavy.
The conference. Yeah. Well, you come actually to your breakout sessions and your second breakout session, and people are starting to nod off almost because it's tiring.
Full.
You're full. Yeah. Your mind is full. But then you talk to them after the conference in the hallways, and they are excited. What they experienced, the new ideas, maybe the new friendships that grew over that weekend with people sitting beside them. Yeah, I think overall it is a fantastic thing to come to next year. Number 10.
Number 10.
And we've already been working on some speakers, some big name speakers. We can't let you know what those are right now. Unless you want to.
Yeah, like Andy Steiger, Terry Crosby, and Steve.
We will be there.
And the big cheer goes on. We have no idea who's going to be there.
Yeah. We have some on the line saying that they're interested. So we'll, as time goes on, we're already working on that. So.
But as always, we're going to be addressing important questions that people are asking.
That's right. Thank you for joining us, listeners. The AC Podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and we'll come back next week with more things to think about.